Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
My mind is a raging torrent, flooded with rivulets of thought, cascading into a waterfall of creative alternatives.
It is still cold in Chicago. Yeah, what did you expect for January 27th, right? Yeah, still cold. I'm dying for palm trees. Stop posting those pictures of Facebook while you're by the poolside, please. I'd appreciate it. Make me feel better. Pleasure spending time with you. This is our History Sidelight series, and we're going to be talking about one particular event. Today is January 27, 2016, and I want to talk to you about something very specific. On this day in history, in the year 1825, something happened in American history we need to be aware of, and it was something that is called the Indian Removal Act. And it was a terrible act, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, but we're going to lead up to that by telling a little story about the Constitution. And it's a great document. The Constitution is a wonderful document. It's a procedure, and it's a good procedure. But the Constitution isn't a moral document. It's not the Bible or any kind of other holy book or anything like that. The Constitution has no power to make bad men good or help good men preserve in their goodness. And throughout history, people have used the Constitution when it suits them. For instance, there were certain groups at certain times who go against it when they don't like it, and then they in turn they turn right around on other occasions and piously claim it as the foundation of their principles. In other words, they're for the Constitution when it suits them, and they ignore it when it doesn't. And let me give you a for instance in history. In the early 1800s, New England threatened secession. It was over some economic issue. We can't get into that now. You listen to our America story, and we'll be getting into that there. But the South was horrified at such a suggestion. They were horrified that that New England was going to secede from the Union. Later, the South actually left the Union, and now the North was horrified. So this should teach us a very important lesson, the fact that people use the Constitution when it suits them. Now, remember, the Constitution doesn't make bad men good or preserve good men in their goodness. That's the point. It doesn't deliver us from evil. So let's take a look at an example of this lesson. And to do that, we're going to go to the so-called pristine days of the American Republic. And we're going to go back to the time of the Virginia Dynasty. That's from Jefferson to Madison. And we're going to begin with the Jefferson administration. Now, during the Jefferson administration, a horrible crime was committed, which was justified by the Constitution. Here's the story. The state of Georgia, its governor, the Georgia General Assembly, Congress, the Supreme Court, and the Jefferson administration conspired to rob the Yazoo Indians. That's right, they conspired. In 1795, Georgia claimed territory that is now Alabama and Mississippi. And the only problem is that the land didn't belong to them. It belonged to the Cherokees, the Chickasaws, the Choctaws, and the Creeks. Now, leaders in Georgia wanted the 35 million acres which made up Alabama and Mississippi. So they went to their state capital, bribed the legislature, and they did that by giving them, they bribed them to give the land to them. And Northerners and Southerners were involved in this, many of whom held federal and state offices. These men included important men like Wade Hampton, Robert Goodloe Harper, William Blount, Robert Morris, and James Wilson. You ever read James Wilson's writings about liberty? And he was involved in this. A brigadier general of the Revolutionary War named James Gunn arranged the payoff to the Georgia state legislators. And he also gave out shares for the Yazoo territory. And the lands were given for a cent and a half per acre. And that means that Alabama and Mississippi were sold for $500,000. Imagine this. The sale was a total sham. Now, some, recognizing how stupid this was, went to court to have it annulled. And so the United States became involved. And what did they do? They ended up buying the land for $1.2 million. So the government set up a commission to examine the Yazoo claims. The commission was made up of five men. Three of these were in Jefferson's cabinet: James Madison, Secretary of State; Albert Gallatin, the Secretary of the Treasury; Levi Lincoln, the Attorney General. Now, the commission concluded that the lands were purchased illegally. Now think about this. They concluded they were purchased illegally. However, in spite of that, they suggested that the land be purchased from the claimants for $10 million. Now, Congressman John Randolph was appalled with the actions of the commission, and he went against his own party and fought against the deal. Randolph called the deal a great swindle. Unfortunately, he lost. The opposition used all kinds of eloquent excuses to justify the evil deal. So the matter went to the Supreme Court, and Chief Justice John Marshall, now you've heard that name, John Marshall, he's the man who gave the Supreme Court its power by the way he exercised it and the way he ruled. Now, surely Marshall, a man like Marshall will do justice, right? A man like John Marshall. Now, the Supreme Court sustained the Yazoo purchase. They actually sustained it. And here's how they did it. They said that Georgia's act annulling the contract impaired the obligation of contracts. Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 states this: no state shall pass any law impairing the obligation of contracts, right? That's the Constitution. They were very constitutional in their decision, right? This was the work of Chief Justice John Marshall. Of course, Marshall completely overlooked that the contract itself was a fraud. So revered and leading men, the state of Georgia, the U.S. Congress, and the U.S. Supreme Court under Marshall and the Jefferson administration were all party to a theft and a flagrant raid on the public treasury, all of which was justified by the Constitution. Now, this fraud had ripple effects. It set in motion a chain of events, which eventually led to our topic here today, the Indian Removal Act in 1838, the Trail of Tears. It all began with this fraud. And the moral of the story is essentially this: a form of government, no matter how good it is, can't make bad men good or preserve good men in their goodness. Justice Fuller said this in 1895 in the Sugar Trust case. He said, "Our form of government may remain, notwithstanding legislation or decision. But as long ago has been observed, it is with governments as with religions. The form may survive the substance of the faith." And that's true. James Madison said this. He said, "Is there no virtue among us? If there be not, we are in a wretched situation. No theoretical checks, like a constitution, that's a theoretical checks. No form of government can render us secure. To suppose that any form of government will secure liberty or happiness without any virtue in the people is a strange idea." And James Madison was right. The Constitution did not prevent good men in their goodness. Good men like Madison and Jefferson and all these guys here, they were good men. Of course, they also had their bad side as well, and it was shown in the Yazoo fraud, totally overlooking what was going on. This, again, the Constitution is powerless in and of itself. It's just a document. And a document can't deliver on the promises of the preamble. The only things that can preserve a nation are a good people with good hearts. That's it. And so the way to win people today is with truth and with sound judgment. Now, again, this leads us to what we started off with, the Trail of Tears. This leads us to the Indian Removal Act. And remember, in 1825, Americans were moving westward, but there was someone in their way. That was the Indians. President Andrew Jackson headed up the effort to remove the Indians. Jackson influenced the press to support the Indian Removal Act. People like Henry Clay, though, Daniel Webster and Davy Crockett opposed Jackson, but of course they didn't win. Jackson won. So on January 27th, 1825, Congress approved the Indian Territory in Oklahoma, which basically cleared the way to force the Indians at gunpoint, at bayonet, to get out of America's way. They wanted that land, and they would get it no matter what. And the Indian Removal Act empowered Jackson to remove all the Indians living east of the Mississippi. That is the Choctaw, the Chickasaws, Creek, Seminole, and Cherokee. They forced them by gunpoint out of there. And by the way, the Cherokee took the matter to court. John Marshall, whom we mentioned before, said the act was unconstitutional. He was right here. But Jackson said, listen, Marshall made his ruling it's unconstitutional. Let's see him enforce it. In other words, he was challenging him. There's nothing that Marshall could do. Marshall couldn't call out the military. He couldn't do that. So Jackson took the Indians, rounded them up at gunpoint, seized their property and their possessions and forced them to move west. And the Cherokees suffered the most of those Indians, as 1 in 4 of them died on the move. Thus, it's called the Vale of Tears. Of the 14,000 Cherokee that were on the Vale of Tears from the southeast to Oklahoma, 2,000 to 4,000 Indians died along the way. The public seemed indifferent. After all, look, they got all the lands, and the Indians got their land out west, but we got our lands. They just seemed indifferent. And this was, again, in the supposed pristine days of America and the U.S. Constitution. But it only proves that a document can't preserve a people. Only a good people can. We need to be careful when we use terms like making America great again or restoring the republic. What do you want to restore? We take the good stuff in the past. We take the good stuff, but we throw away the bad stuff. And there was a lot of bad as well as a lot of good. Progress has been made for sure. We agree with that. Unfortunately, a lot of the progress had come through shedding of blood, which nobody likes. I sure don't. And so let's learn this lesson well, and let's have a sober look at our history. Let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Neither let us paint a picture that is fictitious of American history. All right, we're going to stop there. This is an important lesson. It was a solemn lesson, but one needed. Remember, January 27th, 1825, a day which will live in infamy. Let's learn from it. And let's learn from our mistakes and with an eye toward the future of correcting them. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. I gotta run. I hope you learned something today.